As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Monday, October the 11th, Columbus Day, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, lots of that today. Hard facts, certainly workable solutions. Well, we can advance that as well. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around America. And around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as so many do, at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And I do try and respond to each email as they come in. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out this morning, as we love to do each and every day, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710. On Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis in Jordan, Minnesota. Almost went back the other way there. Thanks for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audience. Is always appreciated. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals this morning in decline. As speculators take profits, well, we're going to have news light this morning, not a lot of news on the news basket. Columbus Day, the voyages to Vinland, a closer look, we'll go there. If we have time, perhaps later in the second hour, we'll go back in and visit with the Book of Enoch. Of course, we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast. Let's go to our market report for this morning, find out what's happening on Columbus Day. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And by the way, the markets are open on Columbus Day. The markets are open, and we found trading gold down $4.90 at $1,342.10 an ounce. That was at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. At about 8:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, gold was up closer to 1354. But anyway, it spiked, took a downward turn, and that's where it was an hour ago. Silver off 9 cents at $23.13. If you can't like that, you don't like eggs and toast, right? Platinum off 16 bucks at $1,685 an ounce. Palladium up $3, the only metal that's up this morning, at $587 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,339.70 for a low. And again, that was just one of these waterfall events. It just plunged all of a sudden and dropped. It was strong all weekend. $1,339.70 for the low, $1,354.60 for a high. That's where it fell from. And yet at $1,342.10, your gold is up year-to-year $292.60 an ounce for a 27.90% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the guys in London, the London Bullion Market Association, set the price at $1,348.50. We'll be right back.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moonday, October the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. Let's go back into our market report, close this out, put it behind us for this morning. Again, we found gold as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time trading down $4.90 an ounce at $1,342.10. Silver off 9 cents, trades at $23.13 an ounce. Platinum off 16 bucks at $1,685, and palladium up $3. At $587 a troy ounce. The SPDR gold shares over the weekend didn't seem to have much activity. I see them down 0.3 of a metric ton this morning, holding 1,288.24 metric tons, valued on the street at these spot prices at $55.6 billion. As again, the markets are all open this morning. But on Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 58. That would be Rupert Murdoch's system here. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 58, crossing over the 11,000 mark again at 11,006. So I guess it's happy feet time for the Dow. The NASDAQ on Friday closed up 18 at 2402, and the S&P 500 was up 7 at 1165. Crude oil this morning off 47 cents. Good news for everybody. $82.19 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. You do the math, $42.19 a barrel, and look and see what you're paying divided by 42, and look and see what you're paying at the gas pump. The U.S. dollar index this morning up 3 basis points, still very low, troubling the monetary folks at 77.21. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates. As we know, the Canadian loonie bumps up, or excuse me, loses 13 basis points. All of the currencies are down this morning. The currency, the Canadian loonie, get my tongue right here, drops 13 basis points this morning at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 8 basis points at 8 cents U.S. You're going into Mexico for whatever purpose. You're going to use 12.4147 pesos per dollar as your exchange rate. That's virtually 8 cents a pop. The euro this morning off 7 basis points. Below that, $1.40 now, back into the $1.39 range at $1.39 U.S. The British pound loses a little bit off 8 basis points, trades at exchanges at $1.59. And the Swiss franc showed flat at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time at $1.04, still yet above parity with the dollar. The bond market this morning, the 2-year yield, dreadfully low, 0.34%. The 10-year is at 2.39%. That's not far off of its recent low, which was, I think, the last time it was in the range that it was, I think it was 2.33%. That's a 2009 low. Anyway, the 30-year is at 3.75% this morning. So overall, the U.S. Treasuries, the yield on them, the bonded indebtedness, not doing too good. But, you know, there's 6 of 1 and 1/2 dozen the other on that argument. So you just have to look into trading bonds to understand it. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed mortgage moves down from 3.90% a month ago to 3.76 this morning, and the 30-year moves down from 4.49 to 4.43 as they try and entice more people into the housing market. And, of course, the prime rate stands at 3.25%. The Federal Reserve had their had a meeting here, and we're going to just go into this off Bloomberg briefly. Very, very spotty news this morning, which is good news for us. I mean, we can relax a little bit on Columbus Day. Maybe things aren't looking as well. Things are still certainly as grim, but they're not reporting much. The federal easing, Fed easing, no longer no long-term fix for structural unemployment. This article off Bloomberg by Joshua Zumbrun. Wouldn't imagine he's Irish. Anyway, any action the Federal Reserve announces at its November policy meeting may not do much to help Timco Aviation Services hire 300 people, the article starts. What's this all about? Well, what it largely is going to revolve around is that we're placed certain places in the United States. We've got a lot of unemployment due to outsourcing and offshoring. There are no comparable jobs, and so they're looking at workforce training necessary in order to bring in some other job. My question is, why don't you just bring the textile mills back and you know, give us an opportunity to buy garments and bedding actually made in this country? Continue here. It says, while a new round of asset purchases may help reduce cyclical joblessness, the result of weak demand in a battered economy, it may not have much effect on the structural unemployment losses caused by changes in the labor market. When what you have is a great workforce in the local area that have been working in textiles or furniture, but they're not trained in aviation-specific skills. Again, what's the problem? Bring back the furniture mills. Bring back the textile mills. Why do they have to turn, you know, reconvert over and start working with aviation? As if we needed more B-17s and B-26 bombers as we continue our wars for Israel. Debate about what has caused the unemployment rate to stall at or above 9.5% since August is dividing Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke's Federal Open Market Committee, that's the FOMC, by the way, Chicago Fed Pres Charles Evidence, and Boston's Eric Rosengren. These are people's names you ought to have written in stone someplace handy. You know, keep them handy. You never know when you might want to visit the Fed. Charles Evans, Eric Rosengren, Chicago, Boston, and have downplayed the role of structural changes in recent speeches and favor additional action to boost the economy. Philadelphia, all right, here's another name for your list, all right? So we've got Boston, we've got Chicago, here's Philadelphia, Charles Plosser, and we have a Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis, Naranya Kokkar-Lakota, have said shifts in labor market may reduce the effectiveness of additional treasury purchases. And then it continues the division that may prompt the FOMC to favor an incremental plan at its November 2nd, 3rd meeting, which gives it flexibility to say, okay, we'll do a couple of months, and as it becomes more apparent how the economy is unfolding, we can phase out the purchases rather than to commit to $1 or $2 trillion, said Carl Riccadonna, senior U.S. economist at the Deutsche Bank Securities, Inc. in New York. Quote, it's a better approach, and I think it'll be easier for Chairman Bernanke to get a fairly unified endorsement from the committee. So, in other words, they're not going to come out with a great big, you know, multiple trillion dollar bailout. They're going to start piecemealing and parceling things out, an incremental plan. Still amounts to the same thing in the long point. And then it continues like the article. Not going to go any further with that. Let's go to this one. Just want to blow through the news here a bit. Foreclosure freeze may sideline the U.S. home buyers on legal concern. We reported much on this last week. This is a article off of Bloomberg on the 10th. A halt in the home foreclosures at the U.S. largest mortgage firms may sideline buyers worried about legal issues, further depressing sales at a time when distressed properties account for almost a quarter of all the transactions. What are they talking about here? Well, basically, as we discovered, this these flaws in the notarial process in creating the security and the negotiable instruments, the deed and the note, the mortgage and the note, due to this problem, these guys are having real problems in the banking industry. But the way the article is styled here, this is all just, you know, technical issues, just little paperwork things, just little glitches we need to straighten out. Well, we'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Back into this article in regards to the foreclosure troubles, the foreclosure woes. Had a lot of discussion about this over the weekend. Had an action-packed weekend on radio myself. I hope you all had a good time over the weekend and got a lot accomplished. I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time talking on the radio, and I didn't get my lawn mowed. Now it's raining. So anyway, that's the way it goes. Puts me behind the schedule, but got a lot of information out. Was able to join Deanne Burley for a two-hour roundtable with three other guests and her co-host on Blog Talk Radio, where we went into this foreclosure process in greater detail, of course, and then other broadcasts over the weekend as well. But this article really is just touching on the edge of the issues. Foreclosure sales accounted for 24% of all home transactions during the second quarter. You know, that's one quarter of all of the home sales in the second quarter of the year were foreclosure sales. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't bode well for the economy here. They made up a greater share in the state's hardest hit by the housing crisis, accounting for 56% of the purchases in Nevada, 47% in Arizona, and 43% in California. All right, buying homes in foreclosure. I mean, someone had to get foreclosed out of that house to get that market, that house on the market in the foreclosure pool. All right? My word. One preliminary review of September foreclosure activity doesn't show any obvious or notable impact, said Rick Sharga. I don't know what he's following. But anyway, it goes on and it talks about 26 states that Well, there's 23, let me go ahead and just read the article a little bit further. I hate to cobble it up here. It isn't known how many loans are included in the national review by Bank of America, said Sharga, before the October the 8th announcement. As many as 200,000 properties were included in the 23-state freeze by the Charlotte, North Carolina-based bank, New York, J.P. Morgan, and GMAC of Detroit. Now, we've got 23 states in the union, and my notepad obviously is not on my radio table. We have 23 judicial states, I believe, and 27 non-judicial states. And so this 23-state freeze is in the judicial states. And that is just a technicality, something to look up and understand. But they're not going to be able to proceed with these fraudulent notarials and claim handling. So it's going to bog things down, and it's going to bog it down for a long time. I'm just going to go ahead and drop the rest of this article. It's a lengthy article. There's a lot up on Bloomberg in regards to this. You might want to take a look at it this morning. But I've spent the whole weekend talking about it. Fed easing, no long-term fix for structural unemployment. Again, any action among the Federal Reserve, action the Federal Reserve announces at its November policy meeting may not do much to help Timco Aviation, blah, blah, blah. This is a continuation. There's more in that. Let me jump over here. And this is another similar kind of an article. This has to do with the post office. Check your mailbox to see where the U.S. is headed. I don't care much for the American Enterprise Institute. Kevin Hassett, however, writing for Bloomberg, from the American Enterprise Institute. To understand where the advocates of big government will take this country, look at the U.S. Postal Service. Start with the fact that the Postal Service is a great jobs machine, employing 712,000 people at an average annual compensation, including wages and benefits of $83,000. And you want to know why the cost of a postage stamp is so high? These guys... The average annual compensation for people who work at the post office is $83,000. And those hefty paychecks are a great source of political contributions for the Democrats. In 2010, almost 90% of the approximately $4 million contributed to campaigns by postal unions went to the Democrats. Take a guess where much of the opposition to reform comes from. But high-priced labor, which accounts each year for about 80% of costs, leads to high-priced mail services and even higher costs for taxpayers. Over the last 10 years, the price of a stamp has risen from 33 cents to 44 cents, exceeding the inflation rate at a time when computerization should have been leading to big cost savings. Even so, the Postal Service lost about $6 billion this year, and by its own projections, it will drop a cool $238 billion over the next 10 years. By 2020, the last year in the projection, the Postal Service will be losing $33 billion annually. If its losses level off and it continues to lose that much each year, the Postal Service will lose $550 million from 2010 to 2030. If the growth rate of losses projected over the next decade continues, it will lose more than $1 trillion in that span. It's just a broken model, folks. It's another one of them. It needs to be redone. There's no question about it. Lengthy article, very interesting. You might want to check it out. It's, again, up on Bloomberg. Of course, we talked about the Cape Wind project over the weekend and on Melody Hallett's maiden voyage with myself and Vicki Davis as guests on Melody Hallett's Truth Quest broadcast. Got off to a rocky start, was plagued by technical difficulties throughout, but as Melody gets her legs, I'm sure that'll be a really great broadcast added to our lineup on the weekends. But here's a real brief note, just the same way that the Ken Salazar note came out, you know, almost a one-liner, but Siemens AG wants to boost its share of the wind turbine market and surpass market leaders General Electric and Vesta Wind Systems. AS, Handelsblatt reported, Siemens is counting on expanding turbine sales in China and the U.S. to help the German company increase its 5.9 share of the global market, the newspaper said. All right? So what's all this about? Well, this power generation system that they're planning Cape Wind off of the Nantucket Sound off the in the East Coast, off the coast of Massachusetts, it'll be about 4.7 miles out from the shore. There's a 25-square-mile area that Ken Salazar, the Mineral Management Service, has leased to Cape Wind. It has been nothing but an ongoing struggle with the people that live in the area. They don't want it. But, of course, what the people want and what the government gives them is two different things every time. But it was kind of an eye-opener to see that, no, General Electric isn't going to be making the wind turbines for this area. Siemens AG is going to make it, you know. So just more trouble as it comes along. Let's jump to another one. I can spend too much more time on news. This one, the EU carbon permits for December, trading at the highest price in more than a month. One of the things that this discovery of Cape Wind led us to understand is that of these wind generation plants will generate a certain amount of electricity. Nothing really to write home to your mom about, but one of the things that they definitely produce lots of is millions and millions of carbon credits, and I want you to think about it from the standpoint of the value of the production of a carbon credit. So every time they, you know, a little windmill blows around, well, it's, you know, it's green energy, and because it's sitting there making electricity with green energy, it creates carbon credits that can offset somebody else, maybe a coal-fired plant or some other kind of a plant. European Union carbon allowances for December rose to their highest price in more than a month. And here's the price. EU permits for December climbed as much as 2.1% to 15.90 euros or $22.15 on London's European Climate Exchange, the highest price since September 8th. They were at 15.6 euros as of 9 o'clock a.m. So you've got an EU carbon permit, all right? It's by the ton. So it's $22.15 per ton of carbon savings or something like that. But there's multipliers that are involved in all of it. And so as I get to know it better, I may be able to speak it better. But I think it's time for us all to pay attention and wake up to this. It's happening. We'll be right back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. Our call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to weigh in on the topics we're talking about while we're in the news basket or another topic, feel free to do so. Goldman Sachs here, another article off Bloomberg, just a brief one, a one-liner. Goldman Sachs MF Global among six new clearing members of the Green Exchange. My God, the Green Exchange, all right? Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. and MF Global Holdings Limited. How'd you like to be a trader at MF Global, huh? We're all MF traders here. Are among six new clearing members of Green Exchange LLC. There are four other Credit Suisse Group, AG, JP Morgan Chase & Company, Morgan Stanley, and New Edge Group, according to an emailed statement from Green Exchange. Clearing members assume, quote, financial and performance responsibility, close quote, for all transactions guaranteed by them and executed through them on Green Exchange, the statement said. And if you believe anything you hear from that cast of criminals, well, you deserve to get what you're gonna get. No doubt about it. Let's jump over here and take a look at Taiwan. Another one-liner. These one-liners sometimes turn into big stories, but they haven't so far this morning. Taiwan Cement Corporation plans to build Taiwan's largest solar plant with the capacity to produce 100 megawatts of electricity, that's not a lot, at a site in southern Pingtung County, the China Times reported citing an interview with Chairman Leslie Ku, right? Taiwan Cement Corporation. Well, there's a little bit more here. In an earlier article, the lengthy one on the finance chiefs wrangling, you know, they got together and they had their International Monetary Fund meeting and they weren't able to come to really much an agreement, trying to argue whether they should or shouldn't allow currency wars to rule the day. But in the course of the article, they talk about bringing on tariffs again, all right? And tariffs are a valuable addition. They can be, and they can be used well to finance government when we need government, and they can be used for other things, too. But let's not forget it, the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. Now, if you want to find out more about the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act and some of its deleterious impacts, at least according to the presentation made by Wiki, you can find it on Wikipedia just simply by typing in Smoot-Hawley. It's S-M-O-O-T hyphen H-A-W-L-E-Y, the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. It'll jump right up for you. I'm looking at the article now. The Smoot-Hawley Tariff, or Hawley-Smoot Tariff, was an act signed into law on June the 17th of 1930 that raised U.S. tariffs on over 20,000 imported goods to record levels. The overall level tariffs under the tariff were the second highest in U.S. history, exceeded only, and then it continues, by a small margin, by the number of the tariff of 18 and 28. And the ensuing retaliatory tariffs by U.S. trading partners reduced American exports and imports by more than a half. So yeah, you can lay, you know, we can levy tariffs on imports, but you have to be able to understand the concept that, you know, the other countries, they're exporting countries, they can put tariffs on things that we import, we export to them, and so it just goes around. It makes for a real problem, and it did. The main goal was to protect American jobs and farmers from foreign competition. All right, so we're going back and we're revisiting Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We're going back and revisiting Hoover in all this discussion, but that's what they do. I mean, the globalists, they use these programs over and over again. Much of what was happening in the 1900s is happening in 2010. The main goal was to protect American jobs and farmers from foreign competition, especially after the global economy entered the first stages of the Great Depression in late 1929, or we could say in the year 2009. In 1922, Congress had passed the Fordney-McCumber Act, Tariff Act, which had increased tariffs. Reed Smoot in 1929 championed yet another tariff increase, which became the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Bill. In his memoirs, Smoot made it abundantly clear, quote, "The world is paying for its ruthless destruction of life and property in the World War, and for its failure to adjust purchasing power to productive capacity during the Industrial Revolution of the decade following the war," close quote. So here we are, we're going to pay for our ruthless destruction of the lives of, and property of the people in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, and we're going to have a failure to adjust our purchasing power because our productive capacity during the period after the war, and we're still in the war, this is going to be a 100-year war, is almost at zero. We have no productive capacity, really, to speak of. We're definitely not having another industrial revolution. We're having a green revolution. We're going around changing light bulbs and caulking windows, for God's sakes. Smoot was a Republican from Utah, probably a Mormon, and a chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Willis C. Hawley, a Republican from Oregon, was the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. When campaigning for president during 1928, one of Herbert Hoover's promises to help the beleaguered farmers had been to increase the tariffs of agricultural products. So just keep your ear to the ground, keep your, you know, ear to the railroad track, and see how many people start championing, you know, tariffs now as we move into this election cycle. Hoover won, and Republicans maintained comfortable majorities in the House and the Senate during 1928. Hoover then asked Congress for an increase of tariff rates for agricultural goods and a decrease of rates for industrial goods. The House passed a version of the act in 1929 increasing tariffs on agricultural and industrial goods alike, and the Senate debated the bill until March of 1930, with many senators trading votes based on their state's industries. The conference committee then aligned the two versions largely by moving to the greater house tariff. So there's more to that article, too, and you can find that up on the Wikipedia website. Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act is a very interesting story, and certainly as more and more of the economists out there start championing tariffs again, I'm not opposed to the use of tariffs, but at the same time, I think we need to look into it very carefully and not just simply repeat mistakes that we've made in the past. A big mistake that we make a lot is we look at Columbus Day and we think that Cristobal's Colombo actually did something. Well, he really did very little. What he actually did was he mastered his fear. He developed an acute mastery of his own fear, and he followed his brother's advice and just sailed, you know, away and charting basically just a latitude, and knowing full well, because he was quite, you know, comfortable with the maps he'd seen, that he was going to make landfall if they could just get there. The greatest discovery in all of this on this day that we remember Columbus, the real great discovery was the caravel. It was the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, the little boats. They're called caravels. And caravel was an unusual rigging design that the shipmakers at that time came up with that actually allowed the small vessel to sail into the wind and make headway. Instead of taking, you know, long tacks to the south and a long tack to the north and making very slow progress, they're basically able to change the rigging on the sailboat and sail into the wind. And that was really the great discovery. Certainly, and we'll find out more about that in a moment, Cristobal Colón, you know, they didn't discover America. America knew right where it was already. Anyway, here's an interesting article out of the Encyclopedia Americana. I always focus on Bartholomew Colón. His name is Bartolomeo Colón, C-O-L-O-N. It's not Columbus. You know, they just added that. Cristobal Colón. He's an Italian. Bartolomeo Colombo is how you say it in Italian, his real name. Italian navigator, brother of Christopher Columbus. He was born in Genoa before 1455, and he died in San Domingo, on August the 12th of 1514. The events of his early years are not on record. In 1470, we find him established at Lisbon as a mariner and constructor of maps. Rather handy, huh? One of those adventurous navigators whom the patronage of the Portuguese princes had drawn to their capital. About 1486, he visited with the Cape of Good Hope, probably with Bartholomew Diaz. His brother sent him to England to seek the aid of Henry VII in 1488, but it appears certain that Christopher was ignorant of his fate, further than that he was captured by pirates. In other words, they don't know an awful lot about this Bartholomew, but he was certainly a cartographer. He was a map maker, and he had a collection of maps. And as you can imagine, somebody with an interest in mapping and map making would buy maps, most likely, wherever he found them, at trade bazaars and things like that. And it's very likely that he had a map that clearly showed where this nation and continent was. We'll be right back.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we can gain a little bit of better understanding of Columbus and all of that by looking at his brother Bartholomew. And, of course, Bartholomew became, was a bit of a navigator himself and definitely a cartographer. They were definitely connected with the royalty. Bartholomew was cartographer to the Anne de Bourbon. He learned that his brother had already discovered the New World and had sailed on a second voyage in 1493. Hastening to the Spanish court, he was received as became the brother of the admiral. Now, the admiral is the key phrase here, the admiral, all right? And it wasn't referred to as a lowercase a, the admiral. It was a capital A, the admiral, from which we get largely admiralty law. And this is where we really start to get complex, because the laws of the sea, Hugo Grotius and all of that, the free sea, all of this stuff starts coming on us and at us at this time, that the idea of the prize, the law of the prize where you conquer something. The idea of just going around, and sticking a staff in the ground. The Colomb comes to shore in a long boat, and he steps out, and he's got his, flowing cape and all that, and he takes a standard and sticks it in the ground, and he claims Hispaniola or Cuba for the crown, Ferdinand. And Queen Isabella, so it's kind of an amazing process, but nevertheless, even though there were people living there, the audacity, it's like, you've got some Joe Blope comes to shore in Massachusetts, gets out of his longboat and comes in with a little flag and sticks it in the ground and he claims it for some other country. How many minutes he would last after that, I don't know, but, it's just a matter of time. So this is the beginning of understanding and thinking about who Bartholomew Colon was and what he did and his opportunity, again, to understand the globe much better. We hear they grow up with these fairy tales out of school that Columbus's cruise on the other two vessels were freaked out and afraid that they were going to sail off the edge. You know, come on, let's all get up to speed here. You know, we've known that the planet is round for a long time. It's just been the jackboot of the Catholic Church, the fear of the Inquisition, kept people from discussing it openly. But it moves. But it moves. All right? Christopher Columbus, again here, this is in Spanish, it's Cristobal Colon. Crystal balls, Colon, you know, C-O-L-O-N. It's Cristoforo Colombo, his real name. Italian navigator, the discoverer of America. Of course, that's nonsense. But this is what they put out even in encyclopedias. He was Father Domenico Colombo, a poor weaver, gave him a careful education in that trade, better characterized as an industrial art or a handicraft. Highly regarded in Italy during the 15th century, and indeed with good reason, esteemed long before and long after the very notable Quattrocento. And it continues here. And there's a lot of information that's shared about Columbus. I mean, this article is huge. No way would I go through it. And then there's almost an entire column of bibliographical notation at the end of this particular article, which lets you know that there is a considerable controversy and much more to learn about Christopher Columbus and Columbus Day than you're going to get in your local school. And I like to go to this story on Columbus Day because to me it feels better, it feels more right to start with it. This is out of the Harvard Classics, the American Historical Documents, Volume 43. This is a hardbound edition that I have open in front of me here. And it was published in 1910 by the Collier's and Sons, copyright Collier and Sons. And so it starts, and this is the very first chapter in the American Historical Documents. This is the very first article, the very first chapter of the book. American Historical Documents is the voyages to Vinland, circa 1,000, okay, 500 years before, you know, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We have this story, this voyage to Vinland. Of course, it wasn't the first voyage to Vinland. There were colonies there or settlements already in North America. But this is the saga of Leif Erikson. The following account of the discovery of North America by Leif Erikson is contained in the saga of Erik the Red. All right? The saga of Erik the Red. And the present translation is that made by an A.M. Reeves from the version of the saga in the Flateyjarbók, compiled by Jón Þórðarson about 1387, well in advance of Crystal Balls. The part of the coast where Leif landed is much in dispute. The most recent investigations tending to the southern part of the coast of Labrador, though many scholars believe Vinland to have been on the New England shore. So there's controversy as to just where it is. But if you go back and you look at the climate change videos that are out there, there is at least one that was sent to me, an email. I don't have it. I may even yet have it in my email box someplace. But it shows a village that the people of Iceland and other places have, you know, restored, that they are very well aware of, that at one time was, you know, orchard country, grape-growing land, and it's much colder there now. So climate change has come and climate change is gone, but the changing climate has hidden some of this history. In addition to that, researchers, you know, miners and explorers and settlers have discovered all manner and sundry kinds of evidences that man has been on the North American continent for a very long time, and that even the indigenous people, the tribes, you know, the Crow, the Blackfoot, the Algonquin, etc., the Iroquois, the Sioux, the Pawnee, that they're not necessarily the first people that lived here either. And then, of course, in Alaska, you know, we meet with the Indians and the Eskimos up there, the Aleut, the Aleutian Island people, and the Inuit and the Eskimo themselves. So we can see that there's great, you know, long time occupation of the North American continent and certainly the South American continent for those that have the courage and the wherewithal to visit and explore has been absolutely rich, indicating presence here for thousands of years, at least. So here's the story. The Leaf, the lucky baptized. After that 16 winters had lapsed, from the time when Eric the Red went to colonize Greenland, Leif, Eric's son, sailed out from Greenland to Norway. He arrived in Drontheim in the autumn when King Olaf Tryggvason was come down from the north out of Hålogaland, or something like that. Leif put into Nidaros with his ship and set out at once to visit the king. King Olaf expanded the faith to him, as he did to other heathen men who came to visit him. So what are we saying? King Olaf expounded the faith to him. This is the introduction of Christianity to other heathen men. It proved easy for the king to persuade Leif, and he was accordingly baptized, together with all of his shipmates. Leif remained throughout the winter with the king, by whom he was well entertained. Bjarni goes in quest of Greenland. Hjörleif, or something like that, was a son of Bard Hjörleifsson. My goodness, I can't pronounce these words, but nevertheless, he was a kinsman of Ingolf, the first colonist. Ingolf allotted land to Hjörleif between Vag and Reykjanes, and he dwelt at the first Drepstok. Hjörleif's wife's name was Thorgerd, and their son, whose name was Bjarni, was a most promising man. He formed an inclination for voyaging while he was still young, and he prospered both in property and in public esteem. It was his custom to pass his winters alternately abroad and with his father. Bjarni soon became the owner of a trading ship, and during the last winter that he spent in Norway, his father, Hjörleif, determined to accompany Eric on his voyage to Greenland and made his preparations to give up his farm. Upon the ship with Hjörleif was a Christian man from the Hebrides. He was who composed the Sea Roller's Song, which contains this stave: "Mine adventure to the meek one, monk heart searcher, I commit now. He who heaven's halls doth govern, hold the hawk's seat air over me." Interesting stuff and interesting reading. I don't know if you've ever read Hrafnal's Sagas and other Icelandic tales. Also interesting reading. We'll pick it up right there on the other side. Find out a little bit more about Leif Erikson and the discovery of America by Western Europeans. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at powerofthepursemovie.com. Again, that's powerofthepursemovie.com.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells.
Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, October the 11th, Columbus Day, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Rather a bit of news light day today. Not terribly interesting news that's out there. And that's for sure. So we're just going to go into a little bit more of a discussion of Columbus Day. There are other things that we could go into, but I think that this is appropriate material for this today. It's about once a year that I look to this book, and these readings we're going to share with you a little bit more out of the American historical documents and visit with Leif Erikson's trip to North America. But before I want to go there, I'm going to go to this little article right here. This is out of our rural Missouri newspaper. It's a publication of an electrical co-op. Berry County co-op, electrical co-op, is one that that I get my power from. And they publish a rather, tabloid-sized newsletter once a month. It's in glossy, or it's not glossy, it's all newsprint, but it's, lots of photographs and stories, interesting things about the state of Missouri. And here, this article is titled this. This is the centerfold article, Live Like a Viking. Reenactors gather twice a year to celebrate their Scandinavian roots in the Viking village of Ravensburg near rural Knox City. Looking out across the five-acre lake on his farm in northeast Missouri, this written by a Heather Berry, looking out across the five-acre lake on his farm in northeast Missouri, Sam Schultz's eyes come to rest on a shallow keel Viking warrior's longboat tied to a tree near the bank. Now, they have a photograph of Sam Schultz's boat, Viking 28-foot long warrior ship named the Yrsa, across this five-acre lake. It has fitted out with a sail. And it's beautifully crafted, you can tell from the photograph. And they wear traditional garb, and they paddle around in this five-acre lake with this summer. But a delightful vessel, a delightful vessel. And they're into reenacting the life of the Viking. Continuing here, he says, she's named Yrsa after a Scandinavian heroine, he says, of his ship, which is a replica of a wooden vessel dating back to 950. So as we look at this discussion about Leif Erikson coming to Vinland, it may be a vessel of similar design, maybe bigger, wider. He was coming in a trading vessel. This is a warrior vessel, 28-footer. I would say the beam is probably not much more than a canoe, maybe 3.5 to 4 feet at the most. Certainly a larger vessel would be necessary to do the things that they did in this story, but we'll find out about it. But again, she's an accurate interpretation of what a Viking warrior or burial ship would have looked like. So why does a Knox City school bus driver and substitute teacher have a 28-foot-long Viking ship in his lake? Well, if you're a Viking reenactor, it probably doesn't seem odd at all, the article continues. In 2007, a group of Missouri-based Viking enthusiasts called the Ravsnagard, formerly known as Norsa, desired to have its own permanent gathering place. Sam and his family, active reenactors, looked around at their 160-acre farm and thought it would be a great place for fellow Vikings to gather. Ravensgard, an independent Viking group, wants to keep its Viking heritage alive. Here, they would be able to preserve their lifestyle and culture of a Viking fortification and trading post. It's a little like the movie Field of Dreams, he says. And if you build it, they will come thing. That summer, Sam, several local Amish men, and many of the reenactors came to Knox City and began working on the Viking Longport, a fortification on a grassy knoll overlooking Sam's Lake. Within 2 months, the group had built the 65-foot-long, 25-foot-tall mead hall, a cook hall, and named their Viking community Ravensburg. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we return once again to this article by Heather Berry out of our Berry County out of the rural Missouri in October 2010 issue, this month's issue. Many members in the group pitched in with labor. They helped to fund the project. We also had the Amish come in and cut down the oak trees and mill the lumber for us, says the Lewis County Rural Electric Cooperative member. Quote, we worked side by side with the Amish framing the building up. This building is solid. They made sure it's here to stay. Well, it's a longer article. And they talk about some of the things that they, what they do. They do the crafts. They make their garments, etc. And this is the life, you know, that we could expect to have found very much the same in Vinland. Let's continue with the story out of the American Historical Documents. This is the journey that Leif Erikson made. And it's a very interesting one. The voyages to Vinland, the Leif the Lucky baptized, and Bjarni goes in quest of Greenland is where we're at now. Herluf settled in Hjörleifsnes and was a most distinguished man. Erik the Red dwelt at Brattahlid, where he was held in the highest esteem, and all the men paid him homage. These were Eric's children, Leif, Thorvald, and Thorstein, and a daughter whose name was Freydis. She was wedded to a man named Thorvald, and they dwelt at Gardar, where the episcopal seat now is. She was a very haughty woman, while Thorvald was a man of little force of character, and Freydis had been wedded to him chiefly because of his wealth. At that time, the people of Greenland were heathen. In other words, they hadn't been, you know, they hadn't come under the spell of the fish hat. They still held their original beliefs. Bjarni arrived with his ship at Eyrar in Iceland in the summer of the same year, in the spring of which his father had sailed away. Bjarni was much surprised when he heard this news and would not discharge his cargo. His shipmates inquired of him what he intended to do, and he replied that it was his purpose to keep his custom and make his home for the winter with his father. And I will take the ship. Notice that their custom was to make their home and winter with their father. But we don't do that anymore in America. And I'll take the ship to Greenland if you will bear me as company, he says. They all replied that they would abide by his decision. Then said Bjarni, our voyage must be regarded as foolhardy, seeing that no one of us has been in the Greenland Sea. Nevertheless, they put out to sea when they were equipped for the voyage and sailed for 3 days until the land was hidden by the water, and then the fair wind died out, and north winds arose and fogs, and they knew not whether they were drifting, and thus it lasted for many days. Then they saw the sun again and were able to determine the quarters of the heavens. They were navigating by the sun here. They hoisted sail and sailed that D-O-E-G-R, I don't know how to pronounce that, Dogr, through before they saw the land. It might have been a month, perhaps. They discussed among themselves what land it could be, and Bjarni said that he did not believe that it could be Greenland. They asked whether he wished to sail to this land or not. It is my counsel, said he, to sail close to the land. Then he did so, and they soon saw the land was level and covered with woods, and that there were small hillocks upon it. They left the land on their larboard, probably starboard, and let the sheet turn toward the land. They sailed for two Dogr, D-O-E-G-R, I don't know how to, it may be day. They sailed for 2 days before they saw another land. They asked whether Bjarni thought this was Greenland yet. He replied that he did not think any more like Greenland than the former, quote, because in Greenland there are said to be many great ice mountains, close quote. They soon approached this land and saw that it was a flat and wooded country. The fair wind failed them, and the crew took counsel together and concluded that it would be wise to land there. But Bjarni would not consent to this. They alleged that they were in need of both wood and water. Quote, ye have no lack of either of these, says Bjarni. Of course, forsooth, which won him blame among his shipmates. He bade them hoist sail, which they did, and turning the prow from the land, they sailed out upon the high seas with southwesterly gales for 3 dogr, which must be days, when they saw the third land. This land was high and mountainous, with ice mountains upon it. They asked Bjarni, and again, this is a translation from a text from about 1000 A.D. They asked Bjarni then whether he would land there, and he replied that he was not disposed to do so, quote, because this land does not appear to be to me to offer any attractions, close quote. Nor did they lower their sail, but held their course off the land, and saw that it was an island. They left this land astern, and headed out to sea with the same fair wind. The wind waxed amain, and Bjarni directed them to reef, and not to sail at a speed unbefitting their ship and rigging. In other words, the wind must have started to get stronger. And so they reefed their sails. They drew up their sails a bit. They sailed now for 4 days when they saw the fourth land. Again, they asked Bjarni whether he thought this could be Greenland or not. Bjarni answers, quote, "This is like a Greenland, according to that which has been reported to me concerning it, and here we shall steer to land." They directed their course thither and landed in the evening below a cape upon which there was a boat. And there, upon this cape, notice that, below a cape upon which there was a boat, right? There's already somebody there. Upon this cape dwelt Hilruf, Bjarni's father, whence the cape took its name, and was afterward called Hrolfsson, or something like that, or Ness. Bjarni now went to his father, gave up his voyaging, and remained with his father, while Hrolf lived and continued to live there after his father. All right, so now we've gone across the sea, and we've caught up with his dad, and they're hanging out together at this place they called Hrolfness. Here begins the brief history of the Greenlanders. Next to this is now to be told how Bjarni Hrolfsson came out from Greenland on a visit to Earl Eric, by whom he was well received. Bjarni gave an account of his travels upon the occasion when he saw the lands, and the people thought that he had been lacking in enterprise, since he had no report to give concerning these countries, and the fact brought him reproach. Bjarni was appointed one of the Earl's men and went out to Greenland the following summer. There was now much talk about the voyages of discovery. Leif, the son of Eric the Red of Brattahlid, visited Bjarni Hrolfsson and bought a ship of him and collected a crew until they formed together all the company of 35 men. Do you notice, folks, how this reads more like an actual account of something rather than it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. All right? Pick it up right there when we come back. I believe a true account of the discovery of North America.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags, perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet.
TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the Matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So back into this discussion, we're reading directly from the American Historical Documents, the Harvard Classics. This is back in Collier and Sons published this back in 1910, is it? Let me check again. 1910 by P.F. Collier and Sons, The Voyages to Vinland, the real first American historical document that the Harvard's Classics share. And it's rather an interesting tale, and I'm just going to pick up where we left off. Here begins the brief history of the Greenlanders again. Next to this is now to be told how Bjarni Harafusson came out from Greenland down to visit Earl Eric, by whom he was well received. And dropping down a little bit further, there was now much talk about voyages of discovery. Leif, the son of Eric the Red of Brattahlid, visited Bjarni Herolfsson and bought a ship of him, and collected a crew until they formed altogether a company of 35 men, give you an idea of the size of the vessel. Leif invited his father, Eric, to become the leader of the expedition, but Eric declined, saying that he was then stricken in years, and adding that he was less able to endure the exposure of sea life than he had been. Leif replied that he would nevertheless be the one who would be most apt to bring good luck, and Eric yielded to Leif's solicitation and rode from home when they were ready to sail. When he was but a short distance from the ship, the horse, which Eric, this is Eric the Red, was riding, stumbled, and he was thrown from his back and wounded his foot, whereupon he exclaimed, quote, "It is not designed for me to discover more lands than the one in which we are now living, nor can we now continue longer together," close quote. Eric returned home to Brattahlid, and Leif pursued his way to the ship with his companions, 35 men. One of the company was a German named Tyker. He put the ship in order, and when they were ready, they sailed out to sea, and found first that land which Bjarni and his shipmates found last. They sailed up to the land and cast anchor and launched a boat. So they not only had the boat, the vessel that they were in, but they had a side boat as well, and launched a boat and went ashore and saw no grass there. Great ice mountains lay inland back from the sea, and it was a tableland of flat rock all the way from the sea to the ice mountain, and the country seemed to them to be entirely devoid of good qualities. Then said Leif, and it is from these little tidbits like this that people have put together a history, at least an estimation, of where these various landing points may have been. And then they looked there, and oftentimes have found artifact. Then Leif said, quote, "It has not come to pass with us in regard to this land as with Bjarni, that we have not gone upon it. To this country I will now give a name and call it Helluland." The Helluland. Rocky, infertile, nothing growing there. The Helluland. I'm going to call this one the Helluland. The Helluland. Yeah. Anyway, they returned to the ship, put out to sea, and found a second land. They sailed again to the land, and came to anchor, and launched the boat, and went ashore. This was a level, wooded land, and there was broad stretches of white sand where they went, and the land was level by the sea. Then said Leif, this land shall have a name after its nature. Now you go back all the way back to, you know, Adam, the story in the Bible, Genesis, where we have this Adamic principle, the nature of Adam, is to name everything. Haven't you noticed it in your own life? You know, you name your car, you name your house, you name your dog, you name your cat. We name everything. We've got to have names for things, or we would just all be walking around in a perpetual state of confusion. You wouldn't know whether it was the coffee pot or the blender. You know what I mean? Okay. So anyway, this is what he's doing. He's naming things as he comes to it, speaking things into existence. So then Leif said, Leif, this land shall have have a name after its nature. We shall call it Markland. Markland. So we had Helgeland, and now we've got Markland. They're discovering land as they go along. They returned to the ship forthwith and sailed away upon the main with northeast winds. That's a clue as to where they might have been going. And were out 2 doger, or days, before they sighted land. And I'm assuming that's doger, D-O-E-G-R is doger, day. It may be week, I don't know. They sailed toward this land and came to an island which lay to the northward off the land. There they went ashore and looked about them, the weather being fine, and they observed that there was dew upon the grass, and so it happened that they touched their dew with their hands, and they touched their hands to their mouths, and it seemed to them that they had never before tasted anything so sweet as this. They went aboard their ships again and sailed into a certain sound which lay between the island and the cape, which jutted out from the land on the north. You see, you could find these on maps now. They're describing the coastal zone. And they stood in westering past the cape. At ebb tide, there were broad reaches of shallow water there. So now we've got a little bit of a clue as to what water looks like. And they ran their ship aground there. And it was a long distance from the ship to the ocean. Yet they were so anxious to go ashore that they could not wait until the tide should rise under their ship, but hastened to the land where a certain river flows out from a lake. Helping to find out exactly where they were, no? As soon as the tide rose beneath the ship, however, they took the boat and rowed to the ship, which they conveyed up the river, and so into the lake where they cast anchor, and carried their hammocks ashore from the ship, and built themselves booths, or cabins, not much, just built themselves booths there. They afterward determined to establish themselves there for the winter, and they accordingly built a large house, much as our story here of the ravens. There was no lack of salmon there either in the river or in the lake, and larger salmon than they had ever seen before. Sounds like a pretty good spot. Pretty nice time. Nothing like a fresh salmon to make your day cheerful. The country thereabouts seemed to be possessed of such good qualities that cattle would need no fodder there. In other words, during the winters. In other words, they would be able to make it through the winters without putting up hay. There was no frost there in the winters. Don't tell that to Al Gore. There was no frost there in the winters, and the grass withered but little. The days and nights there were of more nearly equal length than in Greenland or Iceland. Remember when we were looking at our study of Enoch, that we could discover basically by his idea that the days were 16 hours, the average day length was 16 hours, that from that you can discern the latitude. And so here, where they say, the days and the nights were of more nearly equal length than in Greenland, 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of dark, helps them at this time, must be the summertime, to figure out what the latitude would be, the degrees above the equator. The days and nights there were of more nearly equal length than in Greenland or Iceland, and so you could compare it with Greenland and Iceland and to figure out how much further south they were of that. On the shortest day of the winter, the sun was up between Icarstad and Damalastad, I guess that would be time of day. When they had completed their house, Leif said to his companions, I propose now to divide our company into two groups. Remember, they had 35 men. Well, we'll be right back. Actually, counting himself, there were 36. Two parties of 18. Be right back.
Are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we have returned once again and looking at this very interesting story. At least it's interesting to me. I hope you're finding something of value in it as well about Leif Erikson and the discovery of the northeastern portions of this continent. We're still undecided as to the precise location. But they're about now to, they built a house for the winter. And I don't know, I talk about solutions all the time, workable solutions, and I do have one primary main, solution to offer at this time, and that is the abolition of the established two-party political system and the restoration of our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. There are a great many other things that we can discuss too, from the solutions basket. I don't want to bore you to death with endless detail. But, if there's something that you have in mind, some people in the chat room have from time to time, advanced the idea of getting out of the city and going someplace. Well, I spent I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I spent almost 16 years living, in a little log cabin. So, you know, when these people came off their vessel and they came ashore and they set forth to build a house, remember in our other story, these Viking people here in Missouri, they brought in the Amish to build the house, and they built a good one. They built one to last. And so there's, you know, post-framing is an interesting concept. But blacksmithing figures into this as well. Of course, they would probably know how to do that on the fly no matter where they go. But there are certain tools that you would have if you were to just, head into the woodlot and set out to build yourself a house. Certainly, you're going to need falling axes. And you would need to have wedges, which you can make from wood if you don't have any metal wedges. And then you would need to have a broad axe of a sort. You'd need to have a crosscut saw and a broad axe. You could do without the crosscut saw, but if you had one, it would be an enormous benefit. But you need a broad axe, and that you use the broad axe to flatten the wood. An adze, a shipbuilder's adze, would be good because you can use that to flatten a log. You know, you've seen log houses where they're flat on two sides, round on the top and on the bottom, and then put together, chinked with notches, those sorts of things. But there's a variety of tools that you can use, chisels and all. And you can do a real handy job of building a house without a single, you know, electrical generator. You can create all kinds of things just out of the wood that you can find in a woodlot if you have some hand tools. But you'd need to have the hand tools, and so you need to have them in advance. One of the things that I've done since I've been in Missouri has gone to the farm auctions. Now is my mother and father's generation, the great generation, the World War I, World War II generation have died off. I've gone to estate auctions all around this part of the country and set up and acquired enough equipment to set up a right dandy little blacksmith shop and all manner and sundry of hand-powered tools. Drill presses, you know, the whole process. Post vices, so many tools we just go on for hours and hours. Lots of them. But there's lots of things that would be necessary if you were to land in your, you know, vessel, as these fellows had done, and set forth to build a town. There's stone working tools as well. And I'm fair hand with most all of this stuff. How do you build a dry wall out of stones? You know, how do you lay up a wall of stone? Lots of different things that I've discovered over the years. So if you ever want to talk about that. If you have a question, you're working on a project, you're stymied, you want to call in, we can talk about it. No problem. Let's go back to the text here. Continuing, I propose now to divide our company. Again, there was 35 men plus 35 individuals. Don't know how many women were with them. 35 men, I'm going to say, and that they were going to divide themselves in two plus leaves. That's 18 in two parties. One half of our party shall remain at home at the house. It must have been a big house, just like these fellows built, while the other half shall investigate the land, and they must not go beyond a point from which they can return home the same evening. So they'd walk in various directions exploring, but never further than half the journey home. So it's, that way the round trip, they always get back before dark. Thus they did for a time. Leif himself by turns joined the exploring party. Now we're going to find out a little bit more about him physically. Or remained behind at the house. Leif was a large and powerful man, and of a most imposing bearing, a man of sagacity, and a very just man in all things. He was a mighty man of valor, and just as well. Leif the Lucky finds men upon a skerry at sea. It was discovered one evening that one of their company was missing, and this proved to be Turker, the German. Leif was sorely troubled by this, for Turker had lived with Leif and his father for a very long time and had been devoted to Leif when he was a child. Leif severely reprimanded his companions and prepared to go in search of him. You can imagine a severe reprimand from this man of most imposing bearing. It'd be a reprimand you probably would be unlikely to forget anytime soon. Leif severely reprimanded his companions and prepared to go in search of him, taking 12 men with him. They had proceeded but a short distance from the house when they were met by Turker, whom they received most cordially. Leif observed at once that his foster father was in lively spirits. Turker had a prominent forehead, restless eyes, small features, was diminutive in stature, and a rather sorry-looking individual withal, but was nevertheless a most capable handicraftsman, a mechanic, if you will. Leif addressed him and asked, "Wherefore art thou so belated, foster father mine, and astray from the others?" In the beginning, Turker spoke for some time in German, rolling his eyes and grinning, that they could not understand him, but after a time he addressed them in their northern tongue. "I did not go much further than you, and yet I have something of novelty to relate. I have found vines and grapes." "Is this true, foster father?" said Leif. "Of a certainty it is truth," quoth he, "for I was born where there was no lack of either grapes or vines." They slept the night through, and on the morrow Leif said to his shipmates, quote, "We will now divide our labors, and each day we'll either gather grapes or cut vines and fall trees, so as to obtain a cargo of these for my ship." They acted upon his advice, and it is said that their afterboat was filled with grapes, their afterboat. So now, do they have now three boats? They had the main vessel that they traveled with. They had another boat, which they used, let's say, as their longboat. Is the afterboat the same as the longboat, or was their ship large enough to have three? Question. They sailed out to sea and had made fair winds until they sighted Greenland. So, of course, they're merchants, really. They have cargo, and they're going to go trading now. They sailed out to sea and had fair winds until they sighted Greenland and the sea and the fells below the glacier. The fells below the glacier. Then one of the men spoke up and said, quote, "Why do you steer the ship so much into the wind?" Leif answers, quote, "I have my mind upon my steering, but on other matters as well. Do you not see anything out of the common?" Question mark. They replied they saw nothing strange. Quote, "I do not know," says Leif, "whether it is a ship or a skerry that I see." A skerry might be a ghost, eh? Now they saw it, and they said it must be a skerry. But he was so much keener of sight than they that he was able to discern men upon the skerry, maybe a scow, like a drifting vessel. "I think it is best to tack," he said, says Leif, "so that we may draw near to them, that we may be able to render them assistance if they should stand in need of it, and if they should not be peaceably disposed, we shall still have better command of the situation than they." So they had no, they were not fearful people. All right. Continuing, they approached the skerry, and lowering their sail, cast anchor and launched a second small boat, which they had brought with them. They've got more boats coming out of this vessel than you can ever imagine. Turker inquired who was the leader of the party. He replied that his name was Thori, and that he was a Norseman. "But what is thy name?" Leif gave his name. "Art thou a son of Eric the Red of Brathild?" he says he. Leif responded that he was. Here's a quote. "It is now my wish," says Leif, "to take you all into my ship, and likewise so much of your possessions as the ship will hold." This offer was accepted. So apparently this skerry is a vessel that is in trouble. Right? They were not making any way here at all. This offer was accepted. So they didn't have to fight him for it. They just accepted. So they took the men from this other skerry and they put them into their ship, and they also took over their cargo. This offer was accepted, and with their ship, thus laden, they held away to Eriksfirth and sailed until they arrived at Brattahlid. Isn't this a more interesting story than Cristobal Colombo bilking the natives, capturing slaves, getting mangoes and birds and taking them all back and parading them naked in front of Ferdinand and Isabella?
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt.
Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Open up your can of whoop-ass behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony, Sundays at 2 p.m. Central, noon o'clock Pacific on OracleBroadcasting.com. And don't forget your can.
Yes, back into our discussion here. Open up that big old can of whoop-ass on Sunday with Hal Anthony. A great little promo there by Rex Brocky. I can tell the voice anytime I hear it. Anyway, continuing along here, we're looking into a story that's a little bit perhaps more accurate than the stories we've been given in our American history classes about Cristobal's Cologne, the Italian. Anyway, Irish, Italian, Catholics. Anyway, they slept the night through, and on the morrow they said to his shipmates, "We'll now divide our labors, and each day we'll either gather grapes," and so on and so forth. And it continues. And so they captured this boat on their sailing home. He replied again, his name was Thori, and he was a Norseman. "And what is thy name?" And he says, "Art thou a son of Erica the Red of Brathild?" He says, "He." Leif responded that he was. "It is now my wish again," said Leif, "to take you and you all into my ship, and likewise so much of your possessions as the ship will hold." The offer was accepted, and away they sailed. Leif invited Thori with his wife Gyrdrid and three others to make their home with him, and procured quarters for the other members of the crew, both for his own and Thori's men. Leif rescued 15 persons from the Skerry. All right. Yeah, this would be a boat adrift. They rescued 15 people. So now their crew is up to 50 people. 50 folks plus all that they had on their vessel, plus the after boat and the long boat. He was afterwards called Leif the Lucky. Leif had now goodly store both of property and honor. There was serious illness that winter in Thori's party, and Thori and a great number of his people died. Eric the Red also died that winter. There was now much talk about Leif's Vineland journey, and his brother Thorvald held that the country had not been sufficiently explored. Thereupon Leif said to Thorvald, "If it be thy will, brother, thou mayest go to Vineland with my ship, but I wish the ship first to fetch the wood which Thori had upon the skerry," and so it was done. Now Thorvald, with the advice of his brother, Leif, prepares to make his voyage with 30 men. They put their ship in order and sailed out to sea, and there is no account of their voyage before their arrival at Leif's booths in Vineland, or Wineland. They laid up their ship there and remained there quietly during the winter, supplying themselves with food by fishing. In the spring, however, Thorvald said that they should put their ship in order and that a few men should take the afterboat and proceed along the western coast and explore the region. Thereabouts, during the summer, they found it a fair, well-wooded country. It was but a short distance from the woods to the sea, and there were white sands as well as a great number of islands and shallows. They found neither dwelling of man nor lair of beast, but in one of the westerly islands they found a wooden building for the shelter of grain. They found no other trace of human handiwork, and they turned back and arrived at Leif's booth in the autumn. The following summer, Thorvald set out toward the east with the ship and along the northern coast. There they were met by a high wind off a certain promontory. Again, these are all things, these are clues to the cartographer to be able to go back and perhaps piece these voyages together and find out where all these places were, and were compelled to remain there for a long time and repair the injury to their vessel. Then said Thorvald to his companions, "I propose that we raise the keel upon this cape and call it Keelness." Keelness. Raise the keel. In other words, you're going to probably haul it out and haul their vessel out. And so they did. Then they sailed away to the eastward off the land and into the mouth of the adjoining firth and to a headland which projected into the sea there and which was entirely covered with woods. They found an anchorage for their ship and put out the gangway to the land. And Thorvald and all of his companions went ashore. "It is a fair region here," said he, "and here I should like to make my home." They then returned to the ship and discovered on the sands and saw that they were three skin canoes with three men under each. Three skin canoes with three men under each. They thereupon, and notice these are skin canoes. These are not like, you know, birch bark canoes or anything like that. These are skin canoes. This is probably, they were made, perhaps I would just conjecture that they're made out of seal skin or walrus hide. Three skin canoes. They thereupon divided their party and succeeded in seizing all of the men but one who escaped with his canoe. They killed the eight men and then ascended the headland again and looked about them and discovered within the firth certain hillocks which they concluded must be habitations. They were then so overpowered with sleep that they could not keep awake, and all fell into a heavy slumber from which they were awakened by the sound of a cry uttered above them. And the words of the cry were these, "Awake, Thorvald, thou and all thy company, if thou wouldest save thy life, and board thy ship with all thy men and sail with all speed from the land." Oh, my. Now let us just get into a little bit of the metaphysical, huh? Apparently, their companion, spirit companion, gave them a warning. A countless number of skin canoes then advanced toward them from the inner part of the firth, whereupon Thorvald exclaimed, "We must put out the war boards on both sides of the ship and defend ourselves to the best of our ability, but offer little attack." And this they did. And the Skrællings, after they had shot at them, S-K-R-E-L-L-I-N-G-S, this must be the name that they either knew or gave to these people that were attacking them. After they had shot at them for a time, don't know what they shot at them, fled precipitately, each as best as he could. Thorvald then inquired of his men whether any of them had been wounded, and they informed him that no, one of them had received a wound. Here we go. I have been wounded in my armpit, he says, and an arrow flew in between the gunwale and the shield below my arm. Here is the half. It will bring me to my end. I counsel you now to retrace your way with utmost speed, but me you shall convey to that headland, which seems to me to offer a pleasant dwelling place. Thus it may be fulfilled that the truth sprang to my lips when I expressed the wish to abide there for a time. You shall bury me there, and place a cross at my head, and another at my feet, and call it Crossness forever after. At that time, Christianity had obtained in Greenland. Eric the Red died, however, before Christianity. He died before the introduction of Christianity, they include parenthetically. Thorvald died, and when they had carried out his injunction, they took their departures and rejoined their companions, and they told each other of the experiences which had befallen them. They remained there during the winter and gathered grapes and wood with which to freight the ship. In the following spring, they returned to Greenland and arrived with their ship in Eriksfirth, where they were able to recount great tidings to Leif. Well, there's much more to the story. But certainly they were not just in Greenland, but they had found another place. And where they found another place, they found inhabitants. You know, Cristobal Columbus, right? Living like a Viking, back to this little discussion here. Check my time. We've got about a minute left. This is just a little bit more. We consider ourselves to be presenting the Viking Age as historically accurate as possible, says Sam, one of the reenactors here. This is pretty sad, he says, but history books don't devote many pages to the Vikings, and we really would like to dispel some of the myths about their people. One big misconception they strive to dispel is the image of the horn-helmeted men running amok on those credit card TV commercials. Quote, there has never been a horned helmet found in the history of the Viking Age, says Sam. Sadly, it was just some man's interpretation that stuck. And of course, you just can't go to the opera without seeing the woman with the brass brazier and the horned helmet. So much of our history, much more fascinating. I've always found history to be much more fascinating than fiction. Truth certainly be much more desirable than lies. But it is very difficult to discern the difference between the fantasies and the truths. And it takes a lot of study and an open mind, a lot of discernment, and a desire not to be led into error, but to be led into all truth. And I just hope that we can remember that today as everybody rushes around on Columbus Day, celebrating the wrong man for the wrong time, for the wrong deed. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain.
Bluetooth devices, and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the oraclebroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.